how God treats us better than we deserve. Sometimes I think we don't always understand the impact of what that means, of just how much God has given us, how He has blessed us in such tremendous ways and has done things that we don't even deserve, but He does it for us anyway. That's the kind of God we have, the kind of God that we serve, that loves us and cares for us so much that He is willing to give us so much more than we could ever deserve. The question that we're looking at this morning goes something like this. If our sinful ways reveal more clearly the grace of God, then why would we be condemned for our sins? Or another way of putting it might be like this. If God's grace is going to be revealed through my sin, and if God's perfect will can be revealed through my sin, then isn't my sin ultimately the will of God? This is the mentality that a lot of people have. They feel like if God is going to forgive me anyway, and if my sin is going to reveal how good and gracious and loving and caring God is by forgiving me, then what difference does it make whether I sin or not? That's the big question that a lot of people ask, and it was the same thing that was going on in biblical times with the apostles as they were going around sharing the message of Jesus Christ. We see how that question was being asked in the book of Romans, chapter 3, and we'll begin this morning looking in verse 5. It says, "But if our unrighteousness brings out God's righteousness, brings it out more clearly, what shall we say? That God is unjust in bringing His wrath on us? Certainly not. If that were so, how could God judge the world?" Someone might argue, if my falsehood enhances God's truthfulness and so increases His glory, why am I still condemned as a sinner? Why not say, as some slanderously claim that we say, that is the apostles, "Let us do evil that good may result"? And he says that their condemnation is just. There's a huge warning that comes whenever we start looking at our own sin and start finding ways to justify it or even put our sin's fault on someone else. When we blame others for our own sin, we fall into grave, grave danger. And we can go all the way back to Genesis to find where the first man and woman, Adam and Eve, did that very thing. Remember, God placed them in a garden and they could eat of any tree in that garden except for one, the tree of knowledge and of good and evil. God said, "Of this tree you shall not eat or you will die." But of course, the serpent came and tempted Eve. And after the serpent had convinced Eve that the fruit was good to eat, she took it and ate. And then she went to her husband, Adam, and took the fruit and gave it to him, and he also ate. But then God came, right, and held them accountable. "Did you eat from the tree of good and evil?" Remember what they did? Eve, first of all, she said, "Well, you know this serpent that you created? He tempted me, and because you sent this serpent into this world and created him, that temptation caused me to sin." And then what did Adam say? "Well, God, you know this woman that you created and gave to me? You know, she tempted me to eat the fruit as well, and I took and I ate of it." Ultimately, what they're saying is, "God, isn't this really your fault? Because if you wouldn't have created the serpent, or if you wouldn't have created this woman for me, then none of this would have happened in the first place." Do you see the grave danger that we fall into when we look at our own sin and we begin to place it elsewhere? And that's the big question this morning. If I sin and my sin is able to show that God is willing to be gracious and forgiving, then isn't that a good thing? The Bible says that those who believe this way, their condemnation is already deserving. Romans 3, verse 10, it says, "As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one." As we look at this verse, it seems hopeless and helpless. how everyone has turned away from God and done things that we ought not do. But in verse 19 it says, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it is so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin." The reason that God allowed law to come into the world is to reveal that sometimes we do things that we ought not do. Some might argue that, well, if God wouldn't have created the law, if He wouldn't have revealed what was bad, then there would be no sin, right? But here it says the reason that God allowed the law to come into being was so that we could recognize just how sinful we are, just how wayward we have gone, because there is right and there is wrong. It was right for Adam and Eve not to eat from the tree of knowledge. It was wrong for them to eat of the tree. And the law reveals what is right and what is wrong. One might look at these passages that we just read and conclude that if we are all sinners and no one can truly become righteous, then what is the point in even trying? And I'm afraid that there are a lot of people in this world who have given up trying. Why seek a righteous life if it is unattainable? Why turn to God in the first place if we will only turn away again and again? Have you ever tried to overcome a sin in your life? A sin that has become a sin that you find yourself in over and over again, and it almost seems like, what is the point in even trying? But the thing is, we are not without hope. As discouraging and as sad and as pitiful as these passages that we've read so far are, we are not without hope. Do not misunderstand what's been said. Yes, we all have fallen away from God, and yes, there is no one who is completely righteous. But the conclusion should never be, so why try at all? Instead, our response should be, oh, how God has treated us better than we deserve. I want us to look at that for just a moment. How has God treated us better than we deserve, even though we have fallen away, even though we have sinned, and no one has sought to be righteous on their own? Romans 3:20 says this, "Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin." That's the beginning of it. We don't become righteous because of the good things that we do. We find that when we try to do what is good, many times we fall flat on our faces. The understanding of the law and the revealing of the law reveals to us where we have gone wrong, the consciousness of our sin. God wants us to be made aware of our sin, not that we should give up, but that we should recognize just how much we need Him and must depend on Him to become our righteousness, because we can't do it on our own. God is holy, but we are not. God is righteous, but we are not. So if we ever hope to become the holy, righteous people of God, we must depend upon who He is as our holy and righteous God, and not on any action or deed that we might perform. In fact, we can't do anything that is good enough to find favor with God. The only thing that we can do is lean upon His goodness and His righteousness, accepting His righteousness into our lives. And once we receive His goodness, then He transforms us more and more into His likeness. Romans 3:21 says this, "But now, apart from the law, the righteousness has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ." It says this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. It doesn't come because of our good deeds, of our good actions. our good deeds fall short. In fact, the Bible says that our righteousness is like filthy rags before our holy and righteous God. Even though no one is righteous, no one understands, and no one does what is good, and no one seeks God, this is only because apart from Christ, we can do nothing. But the Scripture tells us that in Christ Jesus, we can do all things. Amen? Apart from Christ, we can do nothing. In our own strength, we can do nothing. But in Christ Jesus, we can do all things. In Romans 6:23, it tells us that for even though the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. This is what God does for us. It's not so much about what we can do for God, but what God has already done for us. It is Christ who gives us life, and it is Christ who gives us the ability to find victory over sin and the power to live a righteous and holy life. We can never do this on our own, but in Christ Jesus, we can find a life that is full of holiness and righteousness. It's not about me, but Christ in me. It's not about mine and what I own, but the gift of God for salvation. I love how Oswald Chambers put it. He said this, "The one marvelous secret of a holy life lies not in imitating Jesus, but in letting the perfections of Jesus manifest themselves in my mortal life." That's what it means when we invite Jesus into our hearts. When we accept Jesus into our lives, we're inviting His goodness, His righteousness, His presence into us to become something that we cannot become on our own. It's not that we're trying to imitate Jesus, but it's that who Jesus is beginning to come out in our life because we have welcomed His presence into who we are. And as His goodness, as His righteousness is lived out in our mortal flesh, then others can see the goodness of God, even in people like you and me. Not so much because of what we've done, but because of who God is in us. Romans 3:25 says this, "God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of His blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate His righteousness because in His forbearance He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished." He did it to demonstrate His righteousness at the present time so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. He did it to demonstrate His righteousness in us and what we are capable of if we welcome His righteousness into our lives. So Romans 3:27 says this, "Where then is the boasting? It is excluded. Because of what law? The law that requires works? No. Because of the law that requires faith." Do you see how God has been so good to us, so much better than we deserve? He doesn't depend upon our goodness and our righteousness to try to find a way to Him. He allows His goodness and His righteousness to be revealed to us that if we in faith accept that into our lives, that it is by His power and strength and our faith that He is able to do something in us that we could never do on our own. Romans 5, 6, and 7 says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." Aren't you glad that God didn't say, "Now you go and you try to figure things out, you try to be a good person, and you get things straight in your life, and once you figure all that out, then we'll talk about your salvation." God didn't do that. God said that while you were in the muck and the mire of your sin, in the deepest, darkest part of your sin, that's when Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to get our stuff straight first. In fact, He says we can't get our stuff straight first. We have to accept Him in faith. And then through faith, as we welcome His presence into ours, then we can get our stuff straight. Because it's not based upon our own will and our own way. It's based upon the will of God and the way of God. Galatians 2:20 says, "The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Do you see how God treats us so much better than we deserve? Not me, but thee. Not mine, but thine. What God is able to do in us and through us by the power of his presence, and without his presence in our life, we can do absolutely nothing. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." While we were still in the darkest part, God revealed his goodness and his love to us. If we ever hope to be the righteousness of God, the children of God that he desires for us to be, we will never do it in our own strength and our own ability. If we seek to do it on our own, we will fall short every single time. But the moment that we let go of ourselves and we take hold of who God is through Christ Jesus in faith, as we welcome his presence into our mortal flesh, then we are able to be more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? And so let us depend upon his strength. There is power in the name of Jesus, and it is that power that causes us to be the children of righteousness. Let's pray together. Father, we're so thankful that you are who you are, that you are good, you are holy, you are righteous, you are perfect in every way. And God, we recognize that we are anything but those things. Father, we sometimes look at our own sin and we want to blame others. We even want to blame you sometimes, that if you wouldn't have allowed certain things to come into our life, then maybe we wouldn't have sinned. And God, any time we start putting the blame on others, and especially you for our own sin, we fall into grave, grave danger. Forgive us, Father, for when we don't take responsibility for our own actions. But may we be bold and say that we are willing to turn our old self over to you to be forgiven, that you forgive every sin, and that we allow your holy presence to come into our mortal flesh. And as you come in and allow your goodness and holiness to be lived out in our lives, then we become the righteousness of God through your power and your strength abiding in us. And Father, if there's someone here today who has never received you as Lord and Savior, someone who has never accepted your holiness into themselves, we pray that today is the day of their salvation, that they let go of themselves long enough to take hold of who you are, even if they don't fully understand what it's all about, that if they will give you an opportunity to allow you to become their righteousness, that God, it is you who changes, it is you who transforms, and it is you who gives the strength to find victory over sin and guilt. Father, hear our prayers, and we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.